As we prepare our hearts for worship, I want you to hear these words from John chapter 3. Familiar words, but they're from the Message version, and it just sounds a little different. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help. He came to put the world right again. And thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? And so, Father God, that's why we are here. Because you loved us so much that you would send your own son to come and to dwell among us, to show us the way to love, to offer up your life as a sacrifice of love for us, and to resurrect from the dead, overcoming all of our deaths, all of our pains, all of our burdens, all of our fears. And so, Lord, we are here to worship you. We are here to sing songs and give you thanks for such love as this. We are here, O God, because we want to grow in your love, having received this most precious gift. Oh, we want to be your people who share that gift with this world. And so could all of this happen in the next hour? Could you, O God, be glorified by what happens in this place? And could we be filled up to overflowing so we might go into this week ready to be your hands and your feet? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we finish our series of letters to the church in Ephesus called Dear Church, with Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? And now, Father, as we turn to your word, may the same Spirit who inspired the Apostle Paul to write this letter to the churches that he loved, may that same Spirit inspire this people, this church, to hear you and to encounter you and to be changed by you, O God, in this very place, at this very time. And so we invite your Spirit, O God, to move freely among us, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear. And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Time, when you start to think about it, is a strange concept. Sometimes time flies by, and sometimes it feels like time is standing still. Some of you have a usual commute to work that you take every day, and you'll find many days that you get there and you realize the last 20 minutes of your life were a total blur. You've got no idea what you saw, what you did. It just passed by. You look at a calendar today and you realize that we, bad news to parents, or maybe good news, are already halfway through summer break. Feels like it just started. You wonder where that first month went, or maybe you're like, has it only been a month? I swear they've been home for a year. The years 2020 and 2021,
youth camp, COVID that was a week or so ago, feels like ages ago already, but thank you, Jason, for putting up.
You start thinking back to them, they were like one big blur, weren't they? We started thinking of things like, was that 2020, 2021? I don't know. It was just this one long year that never ended. These 2 years of our lives kind of unaccounted for. You can find yourself getting hooked on the newest Netflix show or a video game for some of you guys. And like 6 hours later, you look at the clock and you wonder, where did the time go? Sometimes when you're looking forward to a vacation, hypothetically speaking, the days leading up to it can feel so slow. But then when you're actually on the vacation, a week goes by as if it was an hour, just a flash of time. Time is a strange thing. Well, what does time look like in your life these days? How do you spend your time? How do you view time? Do you find that you're always waiting for something? Always just waiting for the weekend? Always just waiting for the next holiday? Or do you approach time each and every day like it's this grand adventure that you get to go out and see what's in store, even on Mondays, even on Wednesdays? In your life these days, do you find yourself stuck in some kind of a routine where it just kind of makes every day feel like the same old, predictable at best? Or do you plan your days and your weeks on purpose and go out and do something of meaning day in and day out? Or do your days just kind of happen to you? You just kind of take what comes as it comes, never sure what's coming. Is time in your life a gift or is time a threat? Would the theme song of your life be more of an I've had the time of my life or time ticking, ticking away? Start thinking about it. There's so many songs out there about time. Do you find yourself wanting more time or do you find yourself wishing there was less time? On a Wednesday, about 3 o'clock at work. Time. We've all got the same amount of it any given day. And how we use it might differ drastically one from another. But this thing we have in common, we've all got time. And we all have a calling from our God that says what we are actually supposed to do with it. Our time is not to be wasted. Time is a gift from the giver of every good and perfect gift. And we have a God who gives this gift, who actually has some hopes on how we will use it. Paul says to the Ephesians, "Dear church, make the most of the time." Make the most of the time. How do we do that? These verses in Ephesians give us a few helpful ideas to hold on to put into our lives, starting in this day, at this time. How we use this gift of time given from God to us, how do we use it well? How do we enjoy it fully? How do we glorify the giver of the gift? Make the most of the time. First thing he says, as you make the most of the time, do this. Understand what the will of the Lord is. The Message version of that same part says, don't live carelessly. Don't live unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. You see, to make the most of the time that we have been given, we have got to be intentional with the time that we've got. Our purpose is to seek to know the heart of our Father God every single day, not just Sundays, every single day. And knowing the heart of our Father, our calling is to take real steps to daily join God in what He's up to in this world. It says, don't live carelessly or unthinkingly. Don't just let time happen to you and get to a Friday and say, where did this week go? I don't even know what happened. That's unthinkingly. That's carelessly. It says whole days that we can live up just flying by the seat of our pants, whatever comes our way. We're just on a whim this way and that way. Paul says, don't do it that way. He says, that's how we end up selling out our souls to corporate America or streaming apps. if we don't intentionally, purposefully decide on how we want our time to go, I'll tell you what will happen. This world that we live in will gladly decide how our time will be spent for us. This world that we live in will give us these devices to be addicted to. It'll suck our time away. This world that we all breathe the oxygen of, it will just try to entertain us to death. Because with entertainment comes money. And so it'll just entertain us to death, and so that we can check out on any real relationships and just be these people who have this kind of numb, fake smile through the days. This world that we live in, if we don't live our time on purpose, it'll suck us in. It'll suck us in to these 24/7 news cycles to make us fearful. And out of that fear, it'll see that we are glued to the screen. Once again, we're glued to the program. They get some money. You see, if we don't choose for ourselves how we will spend our days, we live in a world that will gladly choose for us. And would you hear this, my friends? This world does not care a thing about your soul. Your pocketbook? Yeah, they like that. But your soul? No, they don't care about that. Think about your time, the Lord says. Care about your time. Choose for yourself how you're going to intentionally spend your time. You know how we approach time totally differently when we're on vacation for like a week versus when we are right here living in our everyday lives, normal routine. Just think about it. When we're on vacation, we have this awareness that our days are limited and that this place that we're in is special and we might not be back for a while. And so there are certain things that we have said during this week. There are things that we must see and there are things that we must do and there are things that we must try before we go home. Some of us, when we go on vacation, we fill our itineraries with adventure and sights and cuisines. And some of us go on vacation and we don't do all that, but we're still being just as intentional about reading a good book or sleeping in, kicking our feet up. It's a choice. And however you do it when you're on vacation, what you're doing is you are choosing how to use your time on purpose. Because you're gonna get your money's worth. And you got away for this week to refill all the parts of your life that you know need something. You're gonna spend this time how your heart needs you to spend this time, because you realize that this vacation, it is a gift. And it's gonna come to an end. So I'm gonna soak it up. And then we have our everyday life. And boy, is it different. In our everyday life, I don't know about you, but I find for myself, it's just so easy to kind of get in this trance. Just going through the motions, letting life happen. Putting off until tomorrow what we know in our heart of hearts God is inviting us into today. In our everyday lives, there's less urgency about us. It's like we have this sense that we've got plenty of time to take in the sights and to take some risk and to really live. We've got next week. We've got next time. How often have you said in the last year, next time? Next time I'll go. Next time I'll do that. Next time, next time, next time. In our everyday lives, we say next time so much that there's never, ever a this time. We so easily just start coasting through our weeks, forgetting that our God gives us this beautiful invitation to see every single day as his gift to us, this gift of opportunity, this gift of adventure, this gift of purpose, this gift to enjoy his goodness. Every day, we have this invitation to approach our time as if it matters, because it does. Make the most of the time. Be intentional with every day that you're given. So what does intentionality look like according to these Ephesians verses? It's this simple, understanding the will of the Lord and doing it. That's intentionality, growing and knowing God's will. That's why we come together week after week, and some of us multiple times a week, because this is the most important thing of life, is to know our God so we might live our life intimately connected to our God. We can't know his will if we're not hanging out with him. And so we come together and we hang out with him. We seek his face together. Intentionally so. Know the will of God day after day, week after week, and knowing God's will more and more, live it out more and more. That's what we're all called to do with the time. It's not our time. It's a gift from our Father. It's his time. And we get to use it as his heart desires. Did you wake up this morning by chance and say at some point, Jesus, your kingdom come, your will be done. Today in my life as in heaven. That's an intentional start to the day. I want to be better at it. We could try it together tomorrow. And praying this prayer, we're so used to just praying, it's a routine prayer. But try it like this week. Take out a blank piece of paper. When you're ready to pray this radical prayer, really, it's radical. Jesus, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life as in heaven. With this blank piece of paper, we got ears and hearts wide open to then ask the question, so Jesus, what is your will in my life today? Jesus, how does your kingdom want to sneak into my world today? Show me. Tell me, I'm listening, Jesus. I'm all yours. What do you want me to know in this time, Jesus? What do you want me to do today, Jesus? What do you want me to be about on a Monday, Jesus? How do you, oh God, want me to spend my time? And with this blank piece of paper, we start our day listening for him, and he will tell us. I promise you, if we ask him, what is your will? In my life today, he will tell you, I promise. Try this. Set your alarm on your phone for every couple of hours this week. And every single time you hear it ding, wherever you are, ask, Jesus, what adventure do you have for me in this hour, at this place? Jesus, how do you want me to see you and share you? In this very time. You see, the days, they can't pass by carelessly when we are intentionally bringing our attention back to Jesus's presence with us again and again. We're giving our whole heart to seeking to know his heart for us. Know God's will and join God in seeing his will be done. This day, this time, make the most of the time. How else do we make the most of the time besides seeking God's will? That's a good start. He then says, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. The message says, don't drink too much wine. That cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God, huge drafts of him. Oh, I love that imagery. I love it. We make the most of the time by not checking out on the moments that we have been given. You see, wine was the substance of choice back then. And you see, this verse is not an admonition against wine. Jesus drank wine. This is a word against drunkenness, which is using wine as this tool in our lives to check us out from the moment in front of us. It's using this thing to escape for something that is false or something that is easy or something that is numbing. It's using something to remove ourselves from God's ability to meet us in our places of need and want with his full presence, with his full satisfaction. We've got all kinds of things that we go to, our own little go-to things for when we want to check out on the reality of life for a little while, right? We've all got something. Wine. Some say, I don't really like whiskey more than wine. Okay, that's your thing. Pot, that's a thing around here. I know it. It wasn't in Texas. Woo, I had culture shock. Slots, you go to the casinos, I've seen it. Netflix binges, Facebook scrolling, romance novels, video games. You see, none of these things are necessarily bad things on their very own, but it's the drunkenness, it's the overindulgence. It's the allowing the thing to steal away the time that our good, generous God has given us. That's where the problem lies. All of us in this room live with this deep hunger, with this deep thirst. It is a hunger for real connection, and it is a thirst for real relationships. It is a hunger for purpose. It is a thirst for belonging. Do you know why we all have these same hungers and these same thirsts? Because we have the same Creator. And our Creator put that in us. And those hungers and those thirsts, those are gifts from Him. And their intention is to lead us into a deeper and deeper connection with Him. But this is where it's so tragic, my friends. So often, this very hunger, this very thirst that God gave us, it is used by us to replace God with a substance and ignore our God altogether. Do you know when you're hungry and you just don't really feel like cooking? That's been me for like 2 straight weeks. And so what do? You just start snacking on whatever you can find. You start grazing. You get a handful of chips over here, handful of candy over there. You get some popcorn, open the fridge, try to figure out what kind of leftovers are there. Are they expired? I guess I'll try it. You try to fill those hunger pangs with like this little dose of sugar here, little dose of carbs there, not really thinking through any of your choices. You're just taking what's easy, just taking what's available. And we all know how that goes, those afternoons of grazing in the kitchen. About an hour later, it hits. Those hunger pangs, they've now become gut pains. And there's gas. And there's heartburn, and it starts coming back up again. And you find out, oh my goodness, after all of that grazing, I am not satisfied. And it turns out, if a couple hours ago, you would have just sat down and had a decent meal with a little bit of thought put into it, you would have had what you needed to live out the rest of the day fully alive. But we are conditioned to be this people who graze through life. We keep taking what's easy to just kind of quickly fill the pain, to quickly fill up the hunger in us. And we all find over and over again, it just doesn't satisfy. Those things that help us quickly check out, what you find out is when you check back in, you're more depressed, you're more lethargic. You're more afraid of facing the real world than you were before you relied on this thing. We find out that they are just handfuls of potato chips. When what God has invited us into is this banquet table, set with everything that our souls need to actually be satisfied, present to the gift of time that He has given us. In my own life, I see it. In my own life, I see my intimacy, my growth with God and my growth with the people in my life that I love and want to grow with, that it's all put on hold every single time I let my time suckers of choice have their way. For me, it's Facebook and Twitter scrolling and college football season. I tell you, so many beautiful fall Saturdays have passed right by for me because I was watching my 4th game of college football. Thankfully, it's only a season. But man, every day social media is right there. And I find that I have these days when I have these windows, several hours. And with these several hours, I could do anything. I could read a good book. I could get deep into God's word. I could call a friend that I miss from Texas. I could go on a hike and enjoy God's beautiful creation. But so many of these times I have these windows and I look up at the clock and 2 hours have passed. And what was I doing but scrolling on this stupid phone app? Oh my goodness. I can spend hours zoned out, watching how all these other people are living their lives, totally deaf to God's invitation to get me living my life with Him right now in this very time. And I know it's not just me. My thing is social media. For others, I know there's others. We're in the Pacific Northwest. Can I just say it? I know in this room, some of our time suckers, marijuana, I know it. And I'm not saying it's all bad. That's a whole different conversation. But when it's our go-to to cope with every emotion, when it's our go-to to check out from hard things rather than walk through them and find the presence of our God in them, then it becomes our thing. It becomes that overindulgence where we replace the giver with some kind of substance that's not going to satisfy. I've been in the casinos in the Northwest, another sight to behold. For some people, that's their time suck. That's their get out of reality. You can go inside this dark room and totally lose touch with anything happening in the outside world. You don't know if it's daytime. You don't know if it's nighttime. You don't have a clue what's going on. And you walk through these aisles and you see these people who their faces are just glued to these screens of little pieces of fruit flying around. And they're just numb to the world. Just, it's like robots. You've seen it. We see it with our kids and their phones. I mean, and it's not, we say, yeah, those kids, but we've got our stuff too, right? We've got our stuff too. We can see our kids for hours at a time, totally checked out of the people that are right there in their presence around them because they're glued to this thing. I was driving through the mountains with my nephews from Texas a few years ago in their 20s. And I was like, guys, you're from Texas. Look up. These are called mountains. And my nephew was like 23. He's like, I'll just look one up on Google real fast. Like, couldn't bother to look out the window and enjoy God's creation right there. We've all got our things that check us out, numbly passing by the time, missing God's gift of His presence in this moment, at this time. All these things, whatever your thing is, what it really does is it checks you out of the adventure that God's got for you. And it checks us into a chosen distraction. Most of us do it deliberately. And so it's a deliberate waste of time. Because for a moment we forget that all of our time is a gift. And it is meant to be shared with the God who gives it to us. When you're stressed out, what do? This is telling on how we see our time. Do you turn to your numbing substance of choice? Or do you let your Father hold you in that anxious space? You see, you'll never know how good He is until you've stayed present enough in the struggle to see that Jesus in the boat in your own storm with you. When you're celebrating, what do? Do you turn to your favorite hit of choice to up the excitement a notch? Or do you sing a song of gratitude to the living God, sharing the joy of this beautiful moment with the very one who gave it? When you're bored, when you're lonely, what do? Do you turn to that thing that'll take your mind off of the reality of the pain for a bit? Or do you turn to the Jesus who is so ready to fill that empty space within you with His loving presence? You see, my friends, I fear that we don't know our Jesus in those hardest places of our lives because over and over again, we turn to these cheap thrills instead. We just keep choosing this quick fix of hi-chew candy over the lover of our souls. Make the most of the time by not feeding a hungry soul all those things that'll just give you a quick buzz and then wear off. But make the most of the time by drinking deeply, Paul says, of God's Spirit. Because see, what Paul knows is we're all going to be filled with something. We're going to be filled with potato chips and leftovers. Or we're going to be filled with the presence of Christ Himself. Make the most of the time. Drink of the Spirit of God. Drink deeply from the well of God. Talk to God. Join hands with God. Surround yourself with folks who delight in hanging out with God. Drink deeply of God and see how He fills all of those hungers, all of those thirsts, with all of the life that He is dying to give. Make the most of the time. No more cheap thrills. No more quick buzzes. Come to the God who satisfies. Drink deeply. Make the most of the time. And finally, make the most of the time. This one's a lot easier. We can all do this one. By singing songs of praise to God. Who doesn't like that? If you don't want to leave the casino yet, and you don't want to seek God's will every morning, just sing some songs at least. That's something we can all get on board with. I mean, have you ever noticed how just a song on the radio can change your perspective immediately? Have you ever noticed how a group singing together is one of the most powerful forces on earth? Spend your days, Paul says, singing to God, about God, for God. Sing out together the promises of God. Sing out the words of God. Come together and make a joyful noise as often as you can to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. If you're bored, sing to Jesus. If you're happy and you know it, sing amen. If you're sad, make that a song to the Lord. If you're falling asleep in your life to God's presence, just start singing of the God who is with you. And I tell you, you will see His presence right back in front of you before you even finish the chorus. The people of God are known by the songs that they sing. They sing to God. And they sing out loud, and they sing all the time. They sing when they're alone, and they sing when they're together. Make the most of the time, Paul says, by filling your days with singing praise to our Lord. I remember when I was just a child at my church in the Dallas area, and I was probably second, third grade. And our beloved pastor, Lou Brown, his wife, Margie, they had been married for 50 years. She was going through a terrible battle with breast cancer. And people would go and visit her. And when they would go and visit and then come back, they would say that at the end of every meeting, she would have everybody stop. And she had this new chorus that had come out in the early 90s. And she said, "We need to sing this together." And the chorus said, "Still I will trust you. Still I will follow. Still I will listen to your every calling. While the storm rages on and I can't find my way, still I will trust you, Lord." And for that year that Margie Brown struggled with cancer and eventually lost her life to it, every person that came into her room to visit her left singing, "Still I will trust you, Lord." And second grade Jamie, at 38 years old, remembers from Margie Brown, the people of God are different because they have a song to sing to their God in every day, at every time. Told you before about my friend Debbie back in Waco. And she was helping her mom caretake for her dad, who was also very, very ill. He just had debilitating pain and suffering. And one day she told her mom, "You go out, run some errands, I'll watch dad." Her mom came back a few hours later and she said, "Well, how was he?" And Debbie said, "Well, I guess he's fine." She said, "He didn't really come out of his room today, but I heard him back there singing all day long." And her mom said, "Oh, Debbie, it means he's having a really, really hard day." She said, "You see, your dad, he sings to Jesus when it hurts. When it hurts." The people of God, they've got a song to sing. And every day and every time. I find myself on Mondays when I'm walking in the woods, just delighting in God's creation. I'm totally tone deaf. It doesn't matter in the woods. And more days than not, I just finally hear myself just singing these songs bubbling out of me, exclaiming, "How beautiful is our God. How good is He. How wonderful are His works." These songs pour out of the people of God. And there is nothing that awakens me to the presence and the power and the goodness of our God like singing with each of you does. Oh my goodness, my heart needs Sunday mornings. My heart needs to hear our voices together from 8 years old to 88 years old saying, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Oh, I just get filled up in those deepest, deepest places as we sing to our God. My friends, it is satisfying because our God is satisfying. Make the most of the time. Fill your days with singing praises to your God. Tomorrow is Monday. Will you show up to it on purpose? Will you intentionally seek to know God's will for Monday? And will you commit to actually trying to live it? On Monday, will you refuse to top off your hunger with those things that you know don't satisfy? And instead, will you drink deeply of God's Spirit? Oh, His well is already running over for Monday. Will you sing to Jesus on Monday, morning, noon, at bedtime? And will you go to bed on Monday, the best kind of tired, because you showed up to life with God that day and you made the most of the gift of time that He gave you? And will you wake up on Tuesday and do it all over again? It's a gift. Every moment, a gift. Oh, that we might glorify our giver with this most precious gift, our time. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father, You've put this breath in our lungs. Everyone in this room, as far as I know, is still breathing right now, and that's a good thing. The fact that You still have our hearts pumping and our lungs breathing in and breathing out means You still got time to gift us with. And with that time, You've got hopes for how we, Your children, will enjoy You and grow in You and share Your goodness far and wide. Oh, Lord, forgive me just this week of the hours that I wasted checking out from Your presence. And checking out from others around me who I could have been pouring into because I was just so busy really doing nothing that was satisfying. Forgive me. God, we need Your grace for the living of these days. Our world distracts us 1,000 ways a minute. But we want to turn to You 1,001 times. We want to drink deeply of Your Spirit. We want to be filled, oh God, with You and nothing less. Let it be so. We pray, oh God, let it be so. Amen.